Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you want to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram at Femi _Abebefe. I know yesterday Bill put in the chat, did somebody take Femi Abebefe on Instagram? I don't know. Like, apparently I just had to go underscore. I'm not sure why I have to do it Femi _Abebefe as opposed to just Femi Abebefe on Instagram, but somebody out there must be sitting on that username, which I will not pay a single cent to. So Femi _Abebefe over on IG. If you like to follow the show on Twitter, you can go ahead and do so at You Better You Bet, and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. If you like our show, you like Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends at BetMGM Network is where you can find it. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Thursday. We have Tyler Morales, Jay Kassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Haw, Addie Bates, Nick Costos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts, or shall I say, his eulogy on his New York Yankees, eliminated by the Blue Jays last night in Game 4 of the ALDS. Nick will give us his thoughts on that coming up to begin the 4 o'clock hour. But as always, if you miss anything across these 4 hours, because we're going to talk a lot of baseball, the National Football League, college football, hockey, like Femi's Island, Prop King. If you miss any part of these 4 hours, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcast. And while you're there, because we're doing you such a favor and putting it on there in on-demand fashion for everyone to consume, the least you could do is to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. We have three guests who will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5:20 Eastern time. Professional sports bettor, part of the Hammer HQ, our buddy Joey Knish joins us at 5:20 Eastern during the third hour of the program. We're going to talk some college football with Knish, the NFL. What is he like? His Detroit Lions. Is he sipping the Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid going to Arrowhead as they take on the Kansas City Chiefs? Can't wait to get Knish's thoughts on that game as well as the Michigan Wolverines going across the country to take on Jaden Maiava, my guy, and the USC Trojans. We'll talk to Knish once again at 5:20 Eastern. And then to begin the Power Hour at 6 o'clock Eastern, our buddy, our BetMGM Network teammate, break the glass, PJ Glasser will be joining us at 6 o'clock. Host, of course, of Send It In weekdays 1 to 1:30. Does an awesome job across the network. We'll get PJ's thoughts on the college football card, on the NFL card, and whatever else PJ is betting. Maybe PJ's got some hockey. Who knows? I don't think PJ dabbles on the ice, but we'll get all of PJ's bets coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern time. And then at 6:20 Eastern, professional sports bettor, founder of the Hammer HQ and BetStamp, Forward Progress is his show. You know him, you love him. Rob Pozzola joins us here at 6:20 Eastern time. We're going to get his best bets for the NFL at 6:20. But of course, we want to hear from you guys as well throughout these 4 hours. Simple question. You should know by now. It's a Thursday night. Happy week 6 to those who celebrate. What's your best bet for tonight's Eagles-Giants game? Could be a side, a total, a prop bet, anytime TD, yardage prop, whatever you like. Let us know your favorite bet for tonight's game and why. Put it into the YouTube chat or into the Twitch chat, and we'll give you a shout out later on during the program. But must be in the YouTube or Twitch chat, and it must include the rationale. Otherwise, we will not give you a shout out or tip of the cap as a real one. But let's get into what we saw last night in Major League Baseball, because the big story, of course, coming out of the Bronx, as we have our first entrant into the LCS, and it's in the American League, and it is the team up north from Canada, the Toronto Blue Jays, who beat the New York Yankees last night 5-2. Toronto wins the series in 4, and they will advance to the ALCS for the first time since 2016. I have to start off by saying this about the Toronto Blue Jays. I got to put some respect on their name. I felt like I've been very dismissive of the Toronto Blue Jays in the regular season when we're talking about who can win the World Series, who could win the pennant. Very dismissive about them when we got the bracket. And I was on here saying, hey, the Yankees, Red Sox, AL wildcard series, that's actually the ALCS. Don't mind any of these other teams, even disrespecting my own team, the Seattle Mariners, who maybe deserve the disrespect after the nonsense they pulled last night in the game against the Tigers. But like, I've been very dismissive of the Toronto Blue Jays. I've been a skeptical. Like, I didn't think that this pitching staff, which has really found itself here late in the season, I didn't think they had what it takes to make a run in October. I was wrong. They were the much better team against the New York Yankees. And honestly, they should have swept the New York Yankees, if you actually think about it. If not for like their errors in like the third and the fourth inning in game 3, they probably win that game and sweep them, because they dominated New York in games 1 and 2 in Toronto. Like, the Blue Jays have been awesome in this series, and they are the very much well-deserved winners against the New York Yankees. And like, oftentimes, honestly, like, Vlad Guerrero Jr., he's just that dude. And I guess he might be the new Yankee killer now that like Rafael Devers is in San Francisco in the National League. Like, we don't have Devers as the Yankee killer for the Red Sox anymore. I guess now Vlad Guerrero Jr., because anytime he plays the Yankees, this guy is on one. And last night, drives in another run, didn't hit the home runs like he was doing in Toronto, but Vlad was amazing. And I thought it was really cool. Like, I know a lot of people were sharing it on social media, the video of Vlad, like, wearing the hat and the t-shirt, and like kind of had like the tears in his eyes as he was smiling, because it has to be a moment of joy for Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, he really put his career in the hands of this organization when he signed that massive contract at the start of the season. Like, we were all thinking, is Vlad going to force his way out? What's going to happen with the Blue Jays? They were last place last year. Like, there was so much concern about Toronto going into this year. And for it to go this way, especially with their run in the second half of the season, to steal this division away from the Yankees. I know the Red Sox tried to make a charge as well, but they really controlled this division once we got into the final month of the regular season. And to do this in New York, I thought that was an awesome, awesome moment. And of course, the moment between Vlad and Big Poppy during the post-game show, like that's stuff of legends right there. You know, like, Big Poppy, obviously, like, Yankees lose, like his thing, and like Vlad kind of doing it as well. Like, I thought that was really, really fun as someone who does not care about the New York Yankees outside of the money that I lost betting on them to win the series. Like, I thought it was a really cool moment to see those two guys kind of enjoying in the Yankees' loss and just kind of just like having a good moment there as the champagne was flowing in that Blue Jays clubhouse. But yeah, like, this lineup, they've had it all. Springer's been a stud this year. Vlad, of course, is awesome. Like this lineup, it really, really works. And if the pitching staff can continue to do what they're doing with Gausman and Yesavage and like all these guys that they have, maybe, just maybe, it's Toronto that's going to actually win the American League. And I did not expect to say that going into this October. I thought that it was going to be either your AL East team between the Yankees or the Red Sox, or perhaps maybe the Mariners, who have been struggling on the road. Maybe they're the team that could be the beneficiary of a wide open American League. But maybe it was the one seed the whole time, the team that had the best record in the AL, the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, on the New York side of it, the Yankee bats just went quiet, you know, and it's been an annual thing in October. Now, going on 16 years, by the way, the last time they won the World Series, which, I mean, there's some franchises that, like, don't even get to the World Series, and the team that I root for. But, like, for the Yankees, their expectations is to win the American League and to be a World Series contender every single year. And now, here we are in a season coming off of an AL pennant victory last year, now ending here in the ALDS. And usually, everyone's going to blame Aaron Judge because of he's Mr. Low Leverage. Well, you can't do that this October. Judge was awesome. Like, I don't know what you want to say about him. He's probably going to win the MVP around Thanksgiving next month. But, like, he was batting 500 in the postseason this year in 8 games. Like, Judge was not the reason why the Yankees are going home. Like, yeah, a 1,200 OPS? Like we're not going to do the Mr. Low Leverage deal. I mean, if anything, you want to look at the Yankees lineup. I mean, how about last night? Crickets from Trent Grisham and Cody Bellinger. You know, those are the guys. Grisham's your leadoff guy. Bellinger's supposed to help protect Aaron Judge. 0-10 combined between those two guys. That can't happen. Like, you need to help your big time slugger in Aaron Judge. And now going forward, it's like, what do the Yankees do? You know, like, Judge, it sounds like he might have surgery on the elbow. That's never a fun experience, as that was kind of hurting him out there in right field, trying to make some throws into the infield to the cutoff guys. Aaron Boone, I mean, I'm assuming he's coming back. That's what it sounds like. And if Aaron Boone comes back, why is it going to be different? And I know on the postgame show, like, A-Rod and Jeter, and, like, those guys played with Boone. So, like, they're not going to, like, smash him and crush him and criticize him like that. But, like, they're saying it's not on him. Well, okay, you can make that argument, but, like, something has to change, doesn't it? Like, Brian Cashman's not going anywhere. Like, and if Boone stays, like, why is there to be some sort of confidence in this Yankees team in 2026 and beyond? I don't know what they're going to do to shake things up, but they desperately need to do something. Otherwise, I feel like, okay, yeah, they can maybe make the World Series in a wide open American League like we saw last year when they got that correct draw facing the Central teams, Kansas City, and then Cleveland in the ALCS. But I just don't really have a ton of confidence in this squad. If this is just going to be run it back in 2026 and hope that things go different. Nah, I don't think that can be the plan, but it sounds like that might be the plan. And if you're a Yankee fan, and we're going to hear from Nick at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, I would be furious if this is just going to be the same old going forward. But looking at the American League betting odds over at BetMGM, now with Toronto advancing, Blue Jays -130. To be your American League pennant winner. The Mariners +270, Tigers +275. It's so funny that the Tigers price is shorter or longer than the Mariners price. Like, they're literally favored to win game 5. I don't know why that's the case. Like, if you like Detroit, I guess bet that +275, because I don't think they're going to be +275 against Toronto. Toronto will definitely be favored, but I don't know if they're going to be favored to that extent. I could be wrong, but I don't really think I am. But that's just where things stand now in the American League with just 3 teams left, Toronto, Seattle, or Detroit, who will be representing the AL in the Fall Classic in a couple of weeks. The National League saw a couple of games last night, both series extended to a game 4, which I'm actually grateful for. We get some baseball tonight to go along with the NFL, which we'll talk about in the next segment. But the Phillies, they beat the Dodgers 8-2. And I'll say this as somebody who has been very, very critical of the top of the order. It's about damn time. It's about damn time that the Phillies, top of the order, woke up, had some damn pride, and actually delivered in October. And boy, did those guys deliver. Multi-hit games for Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, and even Alec Bohm in the 4th spot. Those guys combined, 9 of 16, 5 RBI, 2 home runs, 4 walks, and just 1 strikeout against Yoshinobu Yamamoto and that Dodgers pitching staff. Like, Schwarber, the ball he hit in the 4th inning, the home run, I don't think it's landed. Like, that thing went out of Dodgers stadium, an insane home run. And of course, he had to follow it up with a home run late in the game as well. But Schwarber looked like the Schwarber we saw in the regular season, where it felt like every single night the guy was hitting a home run. Like, that was an awesome, awesome victory by the Phillies. Ranger Suarez came in out of the bullpen. He was dealing after, like, Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola gave him what they needed. I mean, I don't know. Like Mookie Betts, he got active early on. I was thinking to myself, like, uh-oh. Like here we go again. Like, Edmund homers, rather. And then, like, at that point, I'm like, okay, the Dodgers might actually just sweep these guys. But they responded well. Like, Ranger Suarez kind of settled things down, give them 5 innings. Like, that was awesome, awesome stuff. And now for the Blue Jays, like, you got Sanchez on the mound. Do you feel great? No, because you're still going against the Dodgers, but you got to feel pretty good. Christopher Sanchez was best pitcher in baseball outside of Scooble and Skeens. Like, Sanchez was that dude this year. So I think you got to feel really good with where you're at. And if you're the Dodgers, nope, no need to panic. I think they're going to win the series still. Like, Philadelphia, that was more so playing for pride, in my opinion. I think they're going to lose the series. But, I mean, if you're the Dodgers, this Kershaw thing, I know we all want to see him kind of have his moment out of the bullpen. No. Like, he was the slump buster last night. Like, you can't do that. 2 innings, 4 earned, gave up 5 runs in total, 2 homers, walked 3 batters. Like, sometimes it's just over. Like, and it feels like it's over for Clayton Kershaw. And was he ever great in October? No. We all know the story about Clayton Kershaw, the narrative around him when it comes to his performances in the postseason. But, like, last night, I think, was just more evidence of, you know what? Just hang out in the dugout. Be a vibes guy. Be a guy that, like, the camera can cut to and you get the smile and all that stuff with the hair flowing out of the hat. Let's put some other guys out there in the bullpen. And the bullpen is slim pickings for this Dodgers team, but it cannot be Kershaw going forward. Otherwise, they could have some serious problems in some high leverage spots later on in the postseason. All right, we'll get to some of the other top stories from around the world of sports. This is You Better You Bet coming at you here on a Thursday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebefe hanging with you guys this Thursday afternoon. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Costos with his thoughts on the New York Yankees' loss to the Toronto Blue Jays last night. The Yankees are done. They are out. Blue Jays advance to the ALCS. The Yankees, another October of frustrations, and now 16 years without a World Series title. Nick will let us know his thoughts on that coming up to begin the 4 o'clock hour. 20 minutes from now, though, NFL awards conversation resumes, tackling coach of the year, both offensive and defensive rookie of the year, and comeback player of the year, where I still think that the person who's favored should not be favored. And we'll talk about that in 20 minutes, but comeback player of the year, a little bit of a false favorite situation going on. And we'll get into that. And coach of the year, interesting conversation. And I think a lot of buzz about a couple of guys. We'll set the tables and set the record straight on what things should look like in that market coming up in 20 minutes. Did not get a chance to get to the Cubs Brewers game in the last segment. I was talking more about Yankees Blue Jays and Dodgers Phillies, of course. Yankees eliminated. Phillies, they at least extend their lives for a game four tonight, staving off elimination last night. They got Christopher Sanchez on the mound tonight going up against Tyler Glasnow. But this Cubs-Brewers game that we saw last night, before we bring on our guy Bill Zimmerman with our headlines, real quick for tonight, because shout out to the Cubs, bet them in the game last night, parlayed them with the Dodgers, so we didn't win any money. That wasn't fun. But I thought the Cubs would win game three. I do not believe they're going to win game four. I think it ends tonight. Fly the L, I guess, as Nick was saying yesterday. I think that happens tonight. I think Freddie Peralta goes in there, shuts down this Cubs lineup. Matthew Boyd, I wouldn't trust him. Minus 120 is the price over at BetMGM. I would bet that, and I will bet that, as that game gets underway at 9 o'clock. But I think the Brew Crew get it done. They advance to the NLCS, where they'll meet the Dodgers and probably lose in five. But I think the Brewers get it done, and the Cubs will go home tonight. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern time, is our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, how we doing? Happy week six to you and yours, man.
How are you doing, Femi? It is always a good day when there's NFL football on at some point.
Yeah, I think this is like the perfect night to have a baseball playoff game as well. Like when you look at the game that we have slated in the NFL, like usually on a Thursday, hey, we lead with the NFL. Like what's going on in the NFL? What's this game? Let's set the table. Well, it's Eagles and the Giants. And maybe we get a competitive game, but I don't know if it's going to be like the most aesthetically pleasing game between these two teams. But Philly, we'll see if they can answer the questions about what the hell took place in the meeting earlier today. But hey, it's an NFL game, so we'll be locked in. And I actually have a bet on the side too, which should make things a lot more fun. But let's go ahead and get into that here. Let's waste no more time because we got a lot to get to in this segment. Bill, hit us with the number one story we have to know this afternoon.
All right, Femi, let's do that because it feels like one of these games where it's just going to be ugly, but the Giants, and even though it's close, the Giants have no chance to win. That's what this feels like. Thursday night football, Philadelphia Eagles in East Rutherford tonight to take on the New York Giants. Eagles are a 7.5-point road favorite. Total points just 40 and a half in this one. Femi, how are you and the rest of the people betting this one over at BetMGM?
Yeah, this is a really, really interesting game because for the New York Giants, I'm sure they want to burn the tape from this past Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. You turn the ball over five times in a game like where you lose by 12. Like, let's just say they turned the ball over twice. I think the Giants would have actually won the game. And I don't think that's like super far-fetched to say, especially with one of those turnovers being the Cam Scataboo fumble when they were in the red zone down by five, and then he gets ran back for a touchdown. That's how you lose as a bad team. So the Giants, I'm sure, want to burn the tape, and I'm sure they're glad that they have a short week to play tonight. The Eagles, I'm sure, are glad they have a short week to play after their collapse against Denver, up 17-3, end up losing 18-7 to the Broncos at home. And all the conversation out of Philadelphia has just been about, hey, like, why can't this offense click? For one half, they look really good. The other half, they look like the worst offense in the league. That's just kind of been the story of the Eagles through five games up till this point. So I think it's a really interesting game. Might not be like the sexiest game to ever put on primetime. Like, I don't think this is going to be Chiefs-Jags for Monday night. Like, I think I feel pretty confident saying that right now, especially when you look at the total sitting at 40 and a half. But I will say this, the injury report might provide an opportunity because obviously the Giants, no Darius Slayton at wide receiver. And of course, Malik Nabers, he's gone for the year after he tore his ACL. For the Eagles, no Landon Dickerson on the offensive line. Okay, you know, usually that's like whatever, their O-line's really good, but they are going up against this Giants defensive line, a really good defensive line for the New York Giants. And also, popping up on the injury report yesterday, that being Wednesday, Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter. Now, this is sounds like a true game time decision because I saw Ian Rapoport earlier this morning on Good Morning Football saying that, hey, like we don't know. There's uncertainty about Jalen Carter and this heel injury that he apparently suffered during practice. But that's one to keep an eye on 90 minutes prior to kickoff with Jalen Carter. So I say all that to say this. I'm taking the 7.5 with the New York Giants. It's not going to feel great. It actually feels horrendous. But I do think that this is just a little bit too rich. I know some people want to go out there and tease the Eagles. I don't really hate that. I'm not doing it necessarily, but I don't like hate teasing Philly. So if you want to bet Philly, I think that's how I would recommend doing it. I just like getting all of these points with a team at home, to which had they beat the Saints, I don't think you're getting the hook. Maybe it's just 7, maybe it's even 6.5, but I don't think it's 7.5 at home on a short week. We know that short weeks tend to favor the home teams, even if they're not good teams. I like the Giants to kind of go out there and play their A game. Now, is it good enough to cover? Well, I'll find out, but I don't think they're going to go out there to get embarrassed by this Eagles team. So give me the Giants plus the 7.5, and we will plug our nose with this game. Now, as for what everyone else is betting, well, 70% of the bets and 68% of the handle is on Philly. Makes a lot of sense. They're the much better team. 65% of the bets and 67% of the handle is on over 40.5, people expecting points. 53% of the bets are actually on Giants money line at plus 310. People are kind of gravitating towards that big plus money price. However, 88% of the handle is on the Eagles money line at minus 400, which makes a lot of sense, having to bet $400 to win $100. As for the most popular player props, Daniel Bellinger, over 13.5 receiving yards, but minus 120. That's the fifth most popular one. Fourth most popular, you got Saquon Barkley, over 83.5 rushing yards. Third most popular, A.J. Brown, over 64.5 receiving yards. Second most popular, Cam Scataboo, over 13.5 receiving yards. And then the most popular player prop is Jackson Dart, over 30.5 passing attempts. Most popular anytime TD score, Saquon Barkley at minus 160. So looking at these props and how people are betting, I think the betting public expects Philly to win and maybe even win big. I'll be on the other side. Let's go, Big Blue. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Femi, some other NFL notes. The Cleveland Browns and Jacksonville Jaguars are swapping cornerbacks. Jags are sending Tyson Campbell and a 7th-round pick to Cleveland. Browns are sending Jacksonville Greg Newsom and a 6th-round pick. Femi, what do you make of this swap?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like the rare like player for player swap that you get in the NFL, which is now becoming more common, which I think is a lot of fun. You know, we saw that with Odafe Owe and Aloe Gilman earlier in the week. Starting to see more of these kind of player for player trades. Usually it's player for picks is how people operate in the NFL. But like the first thing that I thought of when I saw this trade late last night, because it was a late one. Like I think East Coast was around like midnight, West Coast around like 9 o'clock at night. The first thing I thought of was, what does this mean for Travis Hunter? Like, that's exactly what I want to know. Like, does this mean that Hunter is going to play more snaps on defense? Is it fewer snaps on defense? Because like they didn't lose a corner. They're just swapping a guy out. But Tyson Campbell was technically their number one corner, and they just traded him. And do they expect Greg Newsom to be that guy? I would guess no, because in Cleveland, Greg Newsom was CB2. Like Denzel Ward is the number one corner in Cleveland. So I'm guessing, and maybe this is wish casting, as somebody who's bet some Travis Hunter to win Defensive Rookie of the Year from a couple weeks ago, I think that Hunter might play some more snaps on defense, so where maybe this ends up being 50% offense, 50% defense for Travis Hunter's usage. Like, his usage is so fascinating to me because, as we'll talk about in the next segment, when you look at some of those rookie markets, the prices are massive. But we all know with the amount of attention around Travis Hunter, and once he starts making those splash plays, I think those massive prices are going to start to shorten up quite a bit here. So just keep this one in mind. Try to dig and find out any information from somebody down there in Duval County. How will the Jags use Travis Hunter? Because that's the big story with this team for the foreseeable future. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Femi, Chicago Bears are facing the Washington Commanders in Washington on Monday Night Football this week, which of course brings us back to last year's matchup that ended in the Hail Mary, where Tyreek Stevenson was taunting the crowd rather than playing football. Now, no surprise, leading up to the game this week, Stevenson was asked about that by the media.
Last thing I want to do is have a play that's not so good and my name be memorable. Just use his motivation to come out and stay focused on all tasks and definitely learn to wait till the clock hit 00. So, it was harsh, you know, it hurt my feelings, and that's the best way I could explain it. It just hurt my feelings, just, you know, being a football player and having one of those mistakes that's going to linger around even when my son grew up, you know, got to explain that to him. So definitely hurt, but just use it as fuel.
So Femi, Stevenson saying basically the Chicago fans' reaction hurt his feelings, but he's trying to get past it. Bears fans are trying to get past it, but it is a play that looms large in Chicago.
Yeah. Are you past it, Bill? You're a Bears fan, Bears Banter podcast. Are you past what Tyreek Stevenson did last year?
I was not past it last year, but in hindsight, I'm past it now because Tyreek Stevenson and Matt Eberflus together, those gaffes collapsed the Bears season, which led to Matt Eberflus's firing, which led to Ben Johnson. So all in all, it's a good thing that disaster happened.
Sometimes you got to take one step back to take two steps forward. I got you. That's what the Chicago Bears did last year. I mean, just an unbelievable error or gaffe or just stupidity last year with Tyreek Stevenson. However, with that being said, like, this is a chance for him to kind of make amends with that moment. Like, they're going back to the scene of the crime from last season. And I'm not saying that you should bet Tyreek Stevenson to get an interception or tackle props or whatever, but I do think that this could be like kind of like a motivating rallying cry for this Bears defense in particular that's getting a lot healthier over the bye week. That's the big thing for me with this game. The Chicago we saw prior to the bye week will not be the Chicago we see Monday night. Now, is that good enough for them to cover? I personally think it is. I think this number's a little bit too big, especially when you factor in the Commanders' injury report. Like, Noah Brown's back, great. Guess what? Terry McLaurin was not at practice again today. It sounds like Terry McLaurin's likely going to be out this week. Now, this is a Monday game, Thursday practice, not as important. Let's see what happens on Friday and on Saturday with Terry McLaurin. But it sounds like McLaurin's more on a week-to-week deal, and Dan Quinn's more so being optimistic by saying, oh, there's a chance. I don't think there's going to be Terry McLaurin out there. And if he doesn't play, I think the Bears are very live to pull off the upset. I've already bet 4.5 with Chicago. Let's see. Let's get a little bit further on in the weekend. I might add some money line as well. I think this is a coin flip kind of a game. The Commanders should definitely be favored. But I think they should be favored by like a field goal, not by 4.5. This is a little bit too rich because everyone last week won the Chargers. I liked the Commanders last week. And now all of a sudden, after they win a game with a team that had no offensive line, now they're laying 4.5 against a team that's coming off of a bye week. I don't really think that this is justified. Give me the Bears potentially on the money line. I already like them with the points, but maybe to win the game outright as we get closer to kickoff. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I love that, Femi. Now, something that was not great yesterday was Ali Connolly's reports about North Carolina and Bill Belichick. They came out a total disaster at Chapel Hill, as we know. Rumors were rampant yesterday, and because of that, both Belichick and the university had to release statements. Belichick says, I'm fully committed to UNC football and the program we're building here. Meanwhile, Director of Athletics Bubba Cunningham's statement reads, Coach Belichick has the full support of the Department of Athletics and the university. Femi, short and sweet, what do you make of it?
Oh, man. I think that what are they doing? They're playing the music on the deck at on the Titanic. Like, that's what it feels like is happening here. Like, I get that they wanted to put the statement out there to kind of, like, just quiet all the rumors and quiet the noise, but I'm not buying it. And I still stand on what I said yesterday. I would be surprised if Belichick actually coaches next Friday night. Like, and maybe we get there and he's on the sidelines and he's still the head coach in North Carolina. It feels like we're headed towards the end. And it's depressing how this has come by because, like, this is just a really, really sad way to go out. But, man, I don't think this is happening. And if he does coach, I mean, I don't know if there's a number out there that I wouldn't lay with Cal. I think Cal will run him off the field. I think this has just become a big-time distraction, which is kind of ironic since Belichick was known for like trying to limit distractions when he was in New England. He's now become the distraction based on how things have been going through the first 6 weeks of the season. I still think that he's not going to be coaching, but if he is coaching, give me the Golden Bears for a lot next Friday night. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break.
That means WNBA Finals Game 3. Aces win this one 90-88. Asia Wilson, 34-14. She hits the game-winning shot with under a second remaining. And Femi, the Aces are up 3-0 on the Mercury.
Yeah, it feels great to bet on the best player, doesn't it? And Asia Wilson, not just the best player in the league, I think she's the best player of all time in the WNBA. Like, she is the player, four-time MVP. We got minus 135 with home court advantage with the best player. And now they're up 3-0. And I will say this because it's important to note. We just got word out of Phoenix that Satu Sabally of the Mercury suffered a concussion in last night's game and has already been ruled out for game 4 tomorrow night. That's now Aces minus 3. They are now a big favorite to go out there and pull off the sweep. Will they get it done? I'm not so sure. But they will win the title. Not a matter of if. Just a matter of when. We talk down NFL awards on the other side to wrap up the 3 o'clock hour, I should say, here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network, presented by BetMGM. Femi and Bebfe hanging with you guys this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll hear from Nick Kostos with his thoughts on his New York Yankees. Another October and another exit prior to winning a World Series championship. That's now 16 years. Who am I to talk? I literally have Felix Hernandez right over my right shoulder here. Like, who am I to talk? But like, hey, you know what? Seattle Mariners don't have the big expectations of the New York Yankees, right? Hopefully the Mariners can just get to the damn ALCS. Like, literally hang the banner if that happens, since it hasn't happened since 01. But Nick will give us his thoughts on the Blue Jays beating the Yankees last night as the Blue Jays advance to the ALCS and the Yankees head into another winter wondering how can they finally get over the hump. But we also have a Thursday night football game tonight as well. Eagles at the Giants. And just to remind folks, we want to know from you guys your favorite bet for tonight's Thursday night football game. Put it into the YouTube chat or into the Twitch chat. Side, total, prop. Let us know what you like and why, and we'll give you a shout out later on during the program. Once again, favorite bet for Thursday night football, Eagles at the Giants. And looking at the betting market right now for that game, the Eagles still holding on as a 7.5-point favorite. So it's 7.5 minus 104 is your consensus number. BetMGM has even money on that 7.5. And at a pretty sharp sportsbook here in Vegas, 7.5 even money has now popped up after this went down to 7 earlier this morning. So some money and some support coming in on the Philadelphia Eagles. I like the New York Giants. I think at 7.5, it is a bet. And I am looking for a 7.5 minus 110. And when that pops, I will make that bet. And we'll be backing Big Blue tonight at home as a massive underdog. But let's get into the rest of the NFL awards heading into week 6. Broke down MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year on Wednesday's edition of You Better You Bet. If you missed that, make sure you check it out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. But today, we'll do Coach of the Year, both rookies, and comeback. And let's start with Coach of the Year. And usually we start with the favorite. I want to get to the favorite last year because I really want to make a point about some of the price drops that we've seen this week after the results of week 5. So obviously, the big movers in the market, like Liam Cohen for the Jacksonville Jaguars, he's now the second choice at 4-1 to win Coach of the Year. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, like you look at what the Jags have done, they've already matched their win total from 2024. Last year, they went 4-13. They're 4-1 right now. So it makes a lot of sense why Liam Cohen, as a first year coach, first time coach, is the second choice to win Coach of the Year. Jacksonville's been one of the big stories coming off of the Monday Night Football win over Kansas City. We were all watching it. Massive moment down there in Duval County. My thing with Liam Cohen, and I think this will kind of sort of help us tie the circle here with Coach of the Year once we wrap up this conversation,
I think this is going to be like the AFC South showdown. It feels like that's where we're headed with Coach of the Year. I think whoever wins that division is going to have a very, very good case. And Liam Cohen right now has a good chance to do that, sitting there in that even money price for Jacksonville to win the AFC South. So Cohen is at 4-1. He makes a lot of sense. Mike Vrabel, another big mover. He was 20-1 this time last week. Now he's plus 700 after the New England Patriots upset the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night for the whole world watching. Vrabel, like, he's another improvement coach. New England last year, 4-13. This season, they're already 3-2. My problem with Vrabel is that, one, he's already won this award. He won it as a circumstance coach back in 2021 when the Titans were the one seed, despite all those injuries to like A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, et cetera, et cetera. He's already won this award. And then two, I kind of think he needs to win the AFC East to win this one. Like, let's say New England goes 10-7 or even 11-6, and they're like the 5 seed, maybe the 6 seed in the AFC playoffs. Hell of a year. I don't know if it's going to win it for him. I think a lot of people, the way that Vrabel kind of puts the exclamation point on his case is to dethrone the Buffalo Bills and win the East. And if you believe that, hell, bet all the 7-1 you can if you believe the Patriots can do it. But I don't believe they can do it. Hell of a win last Sunday. And I think they're like a legitimately like good team, or worst case scenario, just above average. Schedule's weak. I just don't think that they're going to be able to knock down the Bills, who like are expected to win 13, maybe 14 games this season. So Vrabel, I understand the price drop. I think it makes a lot of sense. I just don't think he's going to win unless they win the AFC East. Another guy who is very, very interesting, because he's now forming into the circumstance coach. And what is that? Because like, we have the improvement coach and the elite coach. Those make sense. It's pretty self-explanatory. Year-over-year improvement, or a coach that takes his team to like 15-2, 16-1. Those are typically who wins this award. But the circumstance coach is a coach who overcomes mid-season adversity and overcomes injuries or whatever might hold a team back, but still allows them to win games. Kyle Shanahan is now becoming that circumstance coach. Shanahan over at BetMGM is plus 900. Now, on the surface, he would kind of look like an improvement coach because the Niners were 6-11 last year and they're 4-1 right now. But like, I think we all understand why they were 6-11. It was because of all the injuries. I don't think he's going to get the credit as like your traditional coach that comes in and takes over a bad team, then all of a sudden makes them a good team, and then, hey, like, we should make this person coach of the year. No, like, Shanahan was the coach last year when they went 6-11, and the reason why they went 6-11 is because everybody was hurt. Like, if nobody gets hurt, they're not 6-11 last year. It was kind of like having to suffer the whole Super Bowl loser hangover deal in 2024. So he almost looks like a kind of like an improvement coach, but that's more of like a false improvement coach. Now, where the circumstance kicks in is, well, look at all their injuries. Brock Purdy is going to miss another game this week. Brandon Ayuk has yet to play. Nick Bosa is out for the year. And you have a number of other, Juwan Jennings, like, he's banged up. Ricky Pearsall's been banged up. There's so many injuries for the 49ers. And that is the ideal scenario for a circumstance coach. But here's the problem for Kyle Shanahan. In about a month, realistically, the Niners should be pretty healthy, right? You know, Kittle should be back. Ayuk, it sounds like maybe he'll be back by November. I mean, if Pearsall and Jennings are able to stay healthy, they'll be on the field. And pretty much Purdy, I think, should also be on the field as well, to where at the midway point, the only guy that they'll be missing, which, knock on wood, obviously you hope everybody can stay healthy, the only guy that they'll be missing is Nick Bosa. And that'll be at the midway point. And then we'll still have to play about 8-9 games the rest of the way. In a weird twist of fate, like, Kyle Shanahan, unfortunately for him, his circumstance happened in the first half of the season. You want it to be in the second half of the season, to where down the stretch we go and you have all these injuries and you're still winning games. By December, they might be healthy sans Bosa. So I don't know if that's going to be the story or that's going to be the narrative. So at 9-1, I would never bet Kyle Shanahan to win this award. And I think, unfortunately, he's going to come up short yet again, despite so many people in football media screaming from the mountains saying, why has he not won Coach of the Year? And I think that's the same situation for Dan Campbell, who, like, he's not a circumstance coach nor an improvement coach. Like, I don't know what he is, but people just want to keep betting him. He's at 11-1. I think for Dan Campbell, it's just unfortunate, but like, how do you really top what he did last year, which was to go 15-2 with all those injuries on defense? Like, there's a very, 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 very good chance that they will have a worse record this year than they had in 2024. That typically doesn't win you this award. And when we stack up all of these cases, I don't see how those cases beat the favorite in Shane Steichen, who's at plus 300. Steichen is the improvement coach. Now, they have to win a lot of games for him to improve, but guess what? They're on pace to do that. They went 8-9 last year. If they get to 11-6, potentially 12-5, which is like not crazy given the fact that they're 4-1 right now and they're a 7-point favorite at home against maybe a Kyler Murray-less Arizona Cardinals team. Like, I think Steichen is continued to be the most likely guy to win the award. Like, there's no point in betting this unless he starts losing games or maybe they start suffering a bunch of injuries. But as it stands right now, Shane Steichen is your guy to be coach of the year. Let's get into some of the other awards here before we wrap things up. Offensive Rookie of the Year, and this will be a short conversation. Because we have a really rock-solid favorite, and a favorite who is now odds-on in Buccaneers wide receiver Emeka Abuka. Minus 120 right now at BetMGM. He scored a touchdown in every game that they've played, coming off a 7-catch, 163-yard performance against the Seattle Seahawks. He makes the most sense. And that minus price, I think, is actually justified. He is on the same trajectory as Randy Moss and Ja'Marr Chase when they were rookie wide receivers. Both of those guys won Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think there's no point betting any of these other guys. People are going to say, oh, Quinshon Judkins, what about him? What about him? Like, I'm sorry. He plays on an irrelevant football team. There's already some legal issues that he had to deal with in the offseason. Do you think that that guy's going to win the award? Like, come on. Like, let's be for real. It's not happening. So I would be very dismissive, and I am very dismissive of Quinshon Judkins. So O'Roy, not a whole lot to do there. Abuka, justified favorite. Defensive Rookie of the Year. I feel like there's a bet here. I just don't know what it is. Because the favorite right now is Abdul Carter. He's at plus 160. Starting to be more on reputation than actual production here. Half a sack, 13 tackles, one tackle for loss. He plays a lot, which is great. You know, plays about 70% of the snaps every week. And now he's going to be on primetime tonight, going up against the Eagles. But I'm not so sure he should be the favorite. The guy that I think that should be the favorite, but I still wouldn't want to bet it, is Jahad Campbell at plus 250. Campbell's been stud. He's starting and playing a ton of snaps, obviously, for this Eagles defense. 33 tackles, tackle for loss, got an interception. He also, in this game, in primetime, a chance to kind of, once again, let everybody know that he is that dude. I think Campbell should be your favorite, and I already took a long shot on Hunter. I wouldn't bet it again if you bet it a couple of weeks ago like I did. The price is better now than it was then, but I just need to see some more evidence that he's actually going to be playing on the defensive side of the ball. So D-Roy, I feel like there's a bet. I just don't know what it is. But when the big moments happen, maybe this weekend or next weekend, I think it's going to be pretty clear about who we should be betting as opposed to these other guys. And then finally, for Comeback Player of the Year, I'll echo what I said last week on the show. You should be parlaying Dak Prescott until he becomes the favorite. And he's not the favorite. It's Christian McCaffrey. Great. McCaffrey's been cool. The Niners are awesome, and he has 3 touchdowns receiving. But Dak Prescott, people are talking about him like he's the MVP. Those people are crazy, but it just goes to show you how well he's been playing. 1,300 yards passing, 10 TDs, just 3 interceptions, 71% of his passes that he's completed. I think Dak Prescott is your clear favorite to be Comeback Player of the Year, and maybe somebody else emerges. Hutchinson is there, but I think he's more DPOY than comeback. But as it stands right now, Dak should be the favorite, and he's not, which means that's a parlay piece for us going forward. Nick Costos joins us with his Yankees eulogy next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.